was fountain, free to all, a healing stream flowed from Calvary's mountain.
Come receive the offering tithes this morning. Turn over to number 210. That's number 210 in the spiral book.
I will meet you in the morning, just inside the eastern gate. Then be ready, faithful pilgrim, lest with you it be too late. And I will meet you morning, I will meet you in the morning, just inside the eastern gate over there. I will meet you in the morning. I will meet you in the morning. I will meet you in the morning over there. And if you hasten off to glory, just linger near the eastern gate. For I'm coming in the morning, so you'll not have long to wait. And I will meet you in the morning, I will meet you in the morning, just inside the eastern gate over there. I will meet you in the morning. I will meet you in the morning. I will meet you in the morning over there. So keep your lamps all trimmed and burning, and for the bridegroom watch and wait. He'll be with us at that meeting, just inside the eastern gate. And I will meet you in the morning. I will meet you in the morning, just inside the eastern gate over there. Yes, I will meet you in the morning. I will meet you in the morning. I will meet you in the morning over there. Oh, the joys of that glad meeting with the saints who for us wait. Oh, what a blessed, happy meeting, just inside the eastern gate. I will meet you in the morning. I will meet you in the morning, just inside the eastern gate over there. Oh, I will meet you in the morning. I will meet you in the morning. I will meet you in the morning over there. Oh, the joys of that glad meeting with the saints who for us wait. What a blessed, happy meeting, just inside the eastern gate. Oh, I will meet you in the morning. I will meet you in the morning, just inside the eastern gate over there. Yes, I will meet you in the morning. I will meet you in the morning.
I will meet you in the morning over there. Amen. Aren't you looking forward to that? Let's all stand this time. I'll ask Brother Colley if he'll come to a responsive reading.
Every time you take a step, be thankful. Never know when the last one or where they get weaker and shorter, but God still loves us anyway. So just keep believing Him. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 62. Verses 1 through 12. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again we are grateful. Love your many blessings unto us. Love for your loving kindness, God, that you shows upon us every day. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We ask that you would teach us, Father, to love one another with all of our hearts. Let us love each other as you love us. God, guide us and bless us. We ask you to touch our bodies, Father, and take away the pain and suffering. Lord, for we know that you're loving kindness unto us. We know that the enemy rages and tries to destroy us and bring disbelief unto our hearts. But, Father, let us not think of the things that may hinder the body. Just let our souls and minds be surrendered unto you. We ask you to bless those that are in the Sunday school classes, God, that they may learn things this morning, God, your word, that they will be stronger by. We ask you to bless Brother Dale and be with him and humble his heart, Father, to bring forth your words unto us, and just let us all hear and be blessed by it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 62. Truly my soul wait upon God, from him cometh my salvation.
He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved.
How long will you imagine mischief against the man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a boring wall shall ye be in a tutoring fence.
They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouths, but they curse inwardly.
My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectations is from him.
He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved.
In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God.
Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us.
Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity.
Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them.
God has spoken once, twice have I heard this. The power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. For thou rendest to every man according to his work. Thank you. Be seated. God bless you.
Let's turn over to number 217 in the Spiral Book. 217. It is no secret what God can do. The times have chimed, ring out the new, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened. I bring hope to you. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you, for it is no secret what God can do. There is no night, for in His light you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Take Him at His promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you, for it is no secret what God can do. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you, for it is no secret what God can do. Wonderful knowing. Let's try number 231. That's 231 in the Spiral Book. One glorious day, Jesus came and made me whole. He so completely then satisfied my soul. Now as I face life's dark and troubled sea, I wonder if He is satisfied with me. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me, and I want my life to be what it have it be. Then when I come to that great eternity, His smile will say He is satisfied with me. I'm satisfied with God's great redemption plan. I'm satisfied it's sufficient for all men. I'm satisfied with His work on Calvary. but is my Lord fully satisfied with me? I want my Lord to be satisfied with me, and I want my life to be what he'd have it be. And when I come to that great eternity, his smile will say he is satisfied with me. Lord, give me strength, give me courage, make me bold, that I might lead some lost sheep into thy fold, that I might stand unafraid, unmoved for thee, that you might be fully satisfied with me. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me, and I want my life to be what he'd have it be. And when I come to that great eternity, his smile will say he is satisfied with me. Lord, give me strength, give me courage, make me bold, that I might lead some lost sheep into thy fold, that I might stand unafraid, unmoved for thee, that you might be fully satisfied with me. Oh, I want my Lord to be satisfied with me, and I want my life to be what he'd have it be. Then when I come to that great eternity, his smile will say he is satisfied with me. That's my desire this morning. Let's try 242. Inspired book. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hand. Oh, I lift up my hands to you, Lord, singing, I love you, Lord, singing, I love you, Lord, singing, I love you. I sing out a song, I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, oh, I lift up my hands, yes, I lift up my hands to you, Lord, singing look at 243. Just cross the page there, top. We read of a place that's called hell. is made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word He has given. Oh, how beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. In heaven no drooping nor pining, no wishing for elsewhere to be. God's light is forever there shining. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Pure waters of life there are flowing, and who drink may be free. Rare jewels of splendor there shining. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. The angels so sweetly are singing up there by the beautiful sea. Sweet chords from their go-harps are ringing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Yes, how beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Amen. It's going to be a wonderful time, isn't it? Let's all stand this time. We'll change order of service. Number 28 in the black notebook. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Amen. God bless you.
See you.
loving. Amen. You want to see him? Then just look around. You can find him. He's right there. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. You'd like to turn in your scriptures where we've been reading in Ephesians 1, and then we'll be in Revelations 3. Ephesians 1, Revelations 3. We say welcome to our visitors, because always when you come one time here, you're a visitor, and two times you're just a part of us. So we're glad to have Glenn back there with us, and Janine. Janine's been here before, so she's not a visitor, but glad to have her, and glad to have Jackie with us this morning, June's mother. So glad to see them. And all. So remember all the announcements that has been made now. Remember that the Lord willing, this coming Saturday, we'll be having the festival time from 2 and starting about 2 and what, eating about 5. Something like that. Make sure you sign up. Let us know where we can make sure to have enough food. And then remember the Bible study on Saturday, the 7th of November. And then Brother David Gadman will be with us on the 8th of November. All right? We're going to have our Thanksgiving dinner time together on November. Terrence has announced he's on November the 15th. So that will be the Thanksgiving dinner. You will be, get everything ready and doing that. And then there won't be any service that afternoon. We'll just have the morning service, have our dinner time together, and fellowship on Thanksgiving dinner. All right? Then on the Christmas dinner, as far as we know right now, we'll be on December the 13th. We've got to find out if it can be, because we're going to have the dinner time, dinner will be catered on the December. Your sisters won't be having to cook. It'll be catered. And just remember that. Okay. Talked with Brother Benny yesterday. He's beginning, had some weakness and problems yesterday. So remember him in your prayers. And Sister Anna fell yesterday and hurt her back. So just remember these. All right. Any other announcements? I generally forget something, so we remember the announcements. Remember this coming Saturday will be the fall festival. We're not going to put out no jack-o'-lanterns and all of that stuff now. It's because it fell on this time of the year. We're just going to have a fall festival as we have every year and have a good time. You better make sure you bring you a jacket and a hat and things, because it'll probably be cool, so just remember that, okay? And everybody will find where it's at on the way home there in Gillsville, okay? I think we've got all the announcements out of the way. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, your grace, your kindness. Most of all, thank you for you, because without you, there would be nothing in us would be worthy of anything. So we just ask you, Lord, to come on the scene today with each and every one of us. Open our eyes as we sing, Lord, about you and things, and pray to you. You open our eyes of our understanding that we may see you and want to walk therein. Forgive our sins and lead us by thy grace and your love, Lord. May it be to each and every one of us. Have your way. Just remember the sick ones. Remember Sister Anna, their fallen, Lord, and doing. Remember Brother Benny. Lord, just touch him and deliver him from that problem, because we believe you. And thank you. Remember all the sick among us, because there's many, many sicknesses and many things, Father, that, is hinderings and all, that we pray that you would bless each one. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've been reading this for a while, and we'll probably continue to read from Ephesians here until we finish the series we're in, maybe sometimes in the millennium, I guess. But it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him, when? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. I love that, don't you? In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, what? Until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. See, we're waiting a body change, right? So this possession, take totally possession, okay? Revelation 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Amen. We have received a lot of cards and notes and things on the appreciating us in their ministry and the things, and this is Pastor Appreciation Month, and so I thank you for all of those and the things that have been said, that, you know, that we're going to, well, I just thank you for being you, you know, that's the main thing, and, you know, appreciation to me, it's not my job, it's not a burden for me, it's a wonderful opportunity to be able to serve a living God and, you know, to be, try to be a help to everybody I can, because that's what I desire to be. All right. Now, we have been talking about predestination made simple, trying to break it down to where to get away from all of the ideas of mankind, of one leaning it this way and one leaning it this way and doing and talking and, you know, splitting the world up over a little doctrine of predestination, which I don't understand why that has been, because just look up the word predestination or predestinated, and it'll tell you it's destiny determined beforehand. Well, if there is a God, that's the question to you, not to me. If there is a God, if you believe in a God, what kind of a God do you believe in? Don't you surely believe in a God that would know all things and know it all before it ever begun or ever thought about beginning? Don't you believe that about God? Or you think, well, God is just, you know, he just, he doesn't know everything. Well, then that makes you smarter than he is, because you come up with that idea. But I don't believe it that way. I believe that God is all-knowing. He's omniscient in the point that he knows all things. All right? But we do believe that he is a person, a being. He's not just like the wind blowing. Well, God is a spirit. He's just blowing everywhere, you know. Then why would you pray for God to save you if he's blowing everywhere? He would just be in you, and you'd breathe him, and that would be the moya they talk about down in Africa, of that force that they believe. And see, then the animals would breathe in and breathe out, and you breathe in and breathe out. Well, see, we don't believe that. I believe God is real. Amen. And if I'm not going to believe he's real, why serve him? Amen. What's the purpose? What's the doings? You know, I want to see him one day, because I have given my life to try to express what I believe that he's trying to make known to you and I about his being, his person, and who he is, and he's doing. But he's not just, remember we took it, he's omniscient, he knows all things, but he's not omnipresent because he's a being. He's omnipresent to the point that he can be omniscient, that he knows to be there or whatever. But my point has always been, he's not on the moon today. Why be on the moon? There's nobody up there. All right? So then that would put it into the correct order of understanding that we believe in a, you know, one true and living God, not the old concept of Trinitarianism, you know, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. We don't believe that. We believe that there is one true and living God, and Jesus is his name. Now, that's not a oneness doctrine. You know, that's not running it over to the oneness. They went this way. The Trinity went that way. All right, why can't we find the revealed word right down through the middle and believe in it? All right, because we don't believe the oneness thoughts. We believe that there was a time that God manifested himself as Father. Amen. There was a time he manifested himself as Son upon the earth. Now he's manifesting himself as the Holy Spirit. That's not three gods. That's the three attributes of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's the doing that he is. And we've been through that of talking about his attributes and how that he has always had the attributes. He didn't display them, but he always had those attributes. It's not that he gained anything when he come this way. That would make him like you and I. Well, see, then that's not the point of trying to see. I believe in a real God. I believe in a God that will keep his word. Amen. I've seen him keep his word, so I don't have to worry about it. All right? See, then in doing that, then you can believe and know for a surety that, you know, whatever the Bible says will be right. So we've studied in Genesis where that we're talking about where it says, let us make man in our own image and our own likeness and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, Genesis 1:26 and 27. And we look at the man that is brought into being there in Genesis, and we can see God. Or we look at God and see who he is and what he is, and then we can see the man in the image. It's not that he's standing there and he drawed out a thumb and he said, oh, that's in my image or a picture of me. No, that's not the way the Bible is speaking. Jesus was not God in another form. I mean, God in another being or a person. He was God in another form called the Word or the Son. All right? So then his offspring, if we're going to be created in his image, whatever he is, that's what we are. All right? Then you say, well, God is just a spirit. Well, then you're just a spirit. So you're not real. Right? Yeah, I'm real. Well, you don't think he is? I mean, you think you're real, but you don't think God is real. Now, that's a little bit called a stupidity line, you know. And sorry for that wording, but it's the best way of saying it if you get the point. All right. But see, we believe in that God has tried to reveal himself down to mankind. All right? And he had in his mind before the world, you know, what he was going to do, a plan and a purpose that he was going to see it achieved. And he's seeing it done now because he's making it manifest upon the earth. All right. We went through the attributes to the point that he had attributes of being Savior, Healer, Father, Son, you know, the many attributes that he had. And he displayed those attributes coming down through time. All right. And in one of those attributes, he was to be Father. Well, then it would mean if he's to be Father, then it would mean that there would be offspring. Because, you know, Father without offspring is the end of the world, I guess you'd call it. That's what tickles me to death about all of this perversion that is in the world today. You know, and they're all wanting to do this and they're all wanting to do that and not get married and have, you know, children and offsprings and they're wanting to mate up two men and things. Well, you know, the population's going to run out one of these days if that would be true. So, you know, let them go ahead and do what they want to. It ain't going to change anything anyway. But I'm just making a point. See, a father is a point that one would the word father would come up to be that one who has offspring. You know, all right. Now, his offspring would be his very being made manifest in another form. Because even in your children are born. See, you can take the DNA, you can take that and you can trace it down to see for sure, you know, whether that person is your child by the DNA, because that's part of you in that child. All right. See, then the great eternal God, he had this plan and purpose to bring forth. Well, as he did, then he could bring forth his offspring, his children. All right? And we're talking about then in God, because see, in mankind, it's not that way. You know, all of the DNA of the kids and all come through, right, through the father. But in God, it's not like you and I. Because, see, he just steps over in another form. And that's what I've been driving at for quite a while, is that who was Jesus? God in another form. Not another God. Who was the Jehovah of the Old Testament? God in another form. Who is he today? God in another form. Where's he at? Living in you. That makes you, as Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. God in another form called a bride. You know, sons and daughters of a living God to make up the body of Jesus Christ, all right, which is a multiple form body. But it's just like the DNA can be run all the way down. You can run your DNA all the way back to Genesis and find out who you come from. You know, science can through that point because it has the connections, all right. But see, God, he just comes and lives in his people. That's the difference between, you know, I can't go live in my children. My DNA may carry over through the bloodline, but there's no way that I can live in them. All right? But see, God can live in you. And that was his desire to come and live in each one of us, you know, in what we would call the new birth or salvation, whatever, and, you know, come to the point that he could live in us. Because that's his desire. Because he wanted to fellowship with us. He created us for that purpose. All right? Why wouldn't we want to do that and be that part? All right? But now remember what we were talking about. When it says, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness. Well, whatever likeness he is, that's what this man that he would create in Genesis would be. But whatever this man is, would be whatever the God was that brought him into being. I hope you're following my lineup, my chain coming down. We haven't got into the points of bringing out predestination and dealing with that as much. We're dealing with, as I've tried to say to you over and over, how can you talk about predestination if you don't know who done the predestinating? If you don't have some concept of the one that would do any form of predestination, then you don't even know what you're talking about, right? So we're trying to talk about the very God, the very one who could predestinate, all right? Sure, we'll get to it, that he predestinates by his foreknowledge. Sure, and that's wonderfully true. We were listening to a tape last night of Brother Branham preaching, and I was talking to Nanny about it there. It's so amazing to me how that Brother Branham can talk just like the Bible. Right? Now, it wasn't what he was talking about last night. But see, we take like water baptism. All right? And here we have water baptism. And we have the biggest portion of the world baptized in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Right? But then you have some people who baptize in the name of Jesus. Then you have people that are baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ. Then you have people that are baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Now, but yet you have that group that baptized Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They won't accept what the Bible says about all you do in word or do it in the name of Jesus Christ. And they won't see that Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is not names anyway. But my point is, the Bible said to go be baptized, see, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But then it turned over in a few pages, and just 10 days later, it's written that where you would be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That's not contradictory. That's the truth. Both of them are right. So to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, what are you? Baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Father's not a name, Son's not a name, Holy Ghost is not a name. So he said in the name. So they're simple. But yet the world is massively confused about just that one little point. And see, then the people of the message come along, and they're the worst confused people that's ever been. They say, I got what the prophet said. I got where he said it. So yeah, but okay, but what about this over here? I don't want that over there. I got what he said here. Well, isn't that, is there any difference in that and what the denominations are arguing with each other about the water baptism? Am I true? Yeah. You see, we don't listen. We don't listen for understanding. Most of the time we listen to try to argue with somebody. We're waiting on them to shut up where we can talk. Right? That's the basics of what religion is, people have done with it. Right? But see, the Bible is true. Right? The Bible is perfectly true, but yet we must take it and let it be revealed to us. And then we see, as I said, then if I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I've baptized you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's very simple. But if I go out and say, okay, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and then not put no name, then I hadn't baptized you in the name at all. See, a revelation comes from the Word of God. And things this prophet would speak to us about things. We were in the Daniel letting Nanny listen, because Wade had asked you to listen to Daniel 70 weeks. You know, and so we were listening to Sixfold Purpose last night. And some of the things I was telling her, when you get on over to the last of that Sixfold Purpose, he's using scriptures that go like this. He'll be talking about the future home, and then he'll drop back and talk about the millennium. And he just goes like that, because they're the same scripture. It's just according to what you're applying it to. It's like the Bible, where it says there that people would say, how long, how long? They're in Revelation, you know. Well, that's the bride of Christ can cry, how long, how long? But then when you add a couple of words and say, to avenge our blood, now you've turned that to the sealed Jew. Same Bible. Same things. But they must be revealed to us. See? There's got to be a revelation in there. And then the revelation is from the person himself. See, that's why the Bible said no man can call Jesus the Christ. What? Except by what? By the Holy Ghost that's within you. You can't know Jesus to be the Christ. You can't know one true and living God unless there is a personal experience of that God living in you. Outside of that, you're saying what somebody else says. And that's fine to say what somebody says, as long as it's right. Right? But when it's wrong, you know, I don't care who told you. Are you telling me my mom was not right? No, I'm telling you your mama was messed up. She just didn't understand the Bible. If you want to make that blunt, that's all right with me then. See, you say something to somebody, and immediately they'll say, they won't talk to you about what you're saying. You telling me my mama's not saved? Well, then they've come to a realization that, hey, you're saying something that mama didn't say it right. Right? A lot of the old-timers used to say, every tub, the Bible says, every tub will sit on its own bottom. There ain't no Bible for it. But that's what somebody said, and mama said it, and grandma said it, and grandpa said it, and I bless God, it's got to be in the Bible somewhere. Well, find it for me. Find it even in some of these Good News for Modern Man things. You can't find it. But you see what I'm talking about. So thank God that he sent us a prophet to be able to express the word unto us. And we make it no more than what he is, a prophet. Like I said there the other day, if I was in the days of Paul, I'm glad to quote Paul now, aren't you? We just read from Paul in Ephesians. Biggest portion of the New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul. And do you have any problem saying what he says? Well, I don't have any problem saying what the prophet in the end time had to say about it. But see, let's get it all together. Not just our twisted ideas. See? 969 different denominations, and every one of them class. You know, I don't throw off on them. There's probably 2,000 different splits in this message. And everybody claims to be saying what the prophet said. Well, I can't help it if I don't agree with it. If I don't agree with it, I'll just let you know I don't agree with it. At least you know where I stand. Because, see, that's the only way that I can try to bring it, to bring what I see by revelation, to bring it down to where, you know, God can speak to our hearts and our lives. All right? But now, get to point as we'll get into our thought for today. That God himself, he began back there to condescend, is the best way to say it, because the best word you go back to is Elohim, and that word means self-existing. You can go back to your Yahwehs and all of the different things, and Jehovah, and go back into those things. But remember, each one of those are only titles. Jehovah's not a name. You say, yeah, his name was open on. His name was not Jehovah. Because he says there in the scripture, he said, by my name Jehovah was I never known. All right. They never had it in the correct order. That was just the best way to spell it. It's J-V-H-V. In other forms, use it J-V-H-U. And there was just no vowels placed within it to be able to pronounce it. So they come up with the word Jehovah. See? And they use it that way in your Hebrews and Greeks, you got a lot of times it'll be just like Israel into their form of, they won't write nothing. It's just a G and a point that's made. And they don't try to write that word because they don't believe it can be pronounced. Right? Well, that's the truth to it because it's not a name back there. But when Jesus come, if we believe he was Almighty God, he said, I come in my Father's name. Well, his father's name was Jesus. That's simple. Then you could take Jesus and run it all the way back through the scriptures and go all the way back to Jehovah, all the way back to the word Jehovah See, which goes back to the self-existing one under our word, you know, that we call Elohim. All right. Now, but whatever he is what this man that he created. And we've been talking about that this man that he's talking about in Genesis is not a physical man. In Genesis 1, 26 and 27, now 2:7, he comes into a physical being. But in Genesis 1, he's a spirit man. He's whatever form God was. Well, why not just make it God in another form? Why the problem with it? If you're going to make him in the image of God, exact likeness, and he's the very person that, you know, there, and living in you and I, why can't we just be who he is made manifest? Why can't this man that we talk about be, as we were bringing out this past week, that where it says, let us make man. Amen. Well, the us there don't mean there's two gods. Right. It's Father and Word, our Holy Ghost and Word. Right. See, it's not two persons. Right. All right? See, then when he made the man, he made one man. Yeah. Right. Let us make man. Amen. Singular. Not men. Let us make man in our own image, word and spirit, to create the man, bring him into being, and let them. So this man that was created is a very funny looking man. Let us make man in our, and let them. What kind of a looking thing is it? Now, we think about that. And I want to get this point right here, because we think about in the creation of Adam, we think about Adam and Eve as being one. That's fine, because Eve come out of Adam. That's no problem with us, right? You take a rib, it came out, he made a body, and that was Eve. No problem, right? But the rib was in Eve, the body. All right. All right. But now, why not go back into the spiritual creation? Why not back up a little bit? Is all you can think about that Eve and Adam was one together in flesh. You know, is that all you think about? That they was one together in flesh. No, they was one together in creation in the beginning because he made them. He made him. He made them. What? They're in the beginning. All right? And this one that's in the beginning, he's not male and female like we think it. Eve wasn't inside of Adam running around waiting on try to get out. No, it was just a simple fact that it took a rib out and made a body, right? Her body wasn't in his body. It had to be brought into being. But yet her body came from his body. All the rest of the animals, God created the male. And the female, horse, male, female, dog, cow, elephant, whatever, he created the male and the female. But to the man, he didn't do that. He created one man. His name was Adam. All right. Read your Bible. And then he took from Adam a rib and brought into being a body. All right. Now, we talk about it being the masculine, feminine part. And that's fine, because that's what it was. It wasn't that Adam was on one side of him. Boy, I tell you what, today I feel rough. I'm tough. Then on the other side, he says, I feel a little silly today. Don't be stupid. All right? It wasn't some kind of a feminist thing that was within him. It was a nature, a being that we've been talking about. You get a little girl, remember what we've been at it? Little girl, when she comes up to 12, 13 years old, she gets there a couple of years before the boy does. Most boys don't like that, but it's true. She matures quicker, and you don't have to teach her to be a mama. There's something within her. Her nature, her being. She's wants to be a mother. Yep, right. Oh boy, he don't give a hoot. He's still running around climbing trees and hollering like Tarzan. See? But the girl, she's more matured. See? All right, but after a while, things starts working in him in another way. Right. And then he starts having more desires and thoughts and things that come into being. Well, why can't you go back there with Adam and Eve that way? Instead of trying to make all this feminish, that he's just a little feminish over here, a little masculine over here. I ain't being silly, I'm telling the truth. When he took that part out of Adam and put it in the rib and made Eve, when he took the part of the feminish out of Adam He didn't leave Adam to where, oh, boy, bless God, I'm masculine now. You say, you're silly. Well, I agree with it. So are you, to have that kind of a thought. So we'll get that settled. All right. But listen, he takes out the nature, the part that would bring her into being as to what she is. Comes out of Adam because that was where it was at. All right. Now, left him not void, but it did leave him as one thing. When he's standing on earth with Eve not into being, he's lonely. Right? Because he has within inside of him. Now, are you listening? You see what I was trying to get at the other day? Inside of that little girl is a nature that's leaning towards the motherhood. Right? And after a while, the boy catches up and is leaning into the fatherhood. Right? Well, see, why can't we see that back there? That when Adam was created, he didn't have some kind of a strain in his blood and all kind of things was taking place. He was just simply who he was. But Eve was not there as a person. She was not in him as a being, as a doing. In that way. Even your prophet, what did he say? All right. How did it come down to that? See, God himself was in theophany, is a word we use, which means a body for God, is a terminology. The best way to define that word is we use it with a big word called theophany. It just simply means a body of God. All right, then you take it as to be in which one it is that motivates you. You know, because the devil can be your God. Anything can be your God, because that's why it's not correct. But now, get what I'm saying. That man, as he was standing in the garden, he could see the animals. He could see the male, the female. He could see the things. All right? He could even see their multiplication. You got any problems with that? Because they were made for that and brought in the garden. And yet he could see only himself as being one. He had desires in him. Just as God had desires in him to bring forth the man. Now the man has desires within him that something is not just right. Right? Now, what was we dealing with on the last messages? Okay? He was there in the garden. Let's read these and then we'll try to pick up our thought. Go ahead with number one, brother. Let's see what this man is and then we'll move down into our thought. This is questions and answers in 53, off question and answers on Genesis. Now, if a man was made something like that, he's talking about let us, Father and Son, make man in our own image. All right? Now, if a man was made something like that, little sacred light yonder, which in the terminologies of the Greek and the different things, Hebrews is called logos, which is just, it means speech or word. Now, and so what it does, he said, little sacred light yonder, or something like that, it could not be seen, which is a spiritual being. And he said, then he unfolds what he's doing down a little further to bring himself into the trinity of himself, not trinity of gods, trinity of himself or triunity of himself, of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All right? Now, God unfolded himself now down into let us make man, which was his son and offspring of him, man in our own image. He was a supernatural being. All right. This man back there was a supernatural being. Okay? We've been through that. All right. Now what did we cover more of it to pick up some words? Look at the next one, which is on questions and answers on Hebrews. Look at number 2. God created you in his image back before the foundation of the world. Huh? When God created you in his image, or created a man in his image and created a woman in the image of the man. Now this is not the physical Eve. This is not the physical Adam. Because, hey, I mean, if you think I am, I mean, turn around and look at somebody. You know, there is a difference between a man and a woman. They do look different. Supposed to. Get off that. All right. But look. So he created the man in his image. He created the woman in the image of the man. See? For the glory of the man. Look what he said. He made you a theophany just like himself when he said, let us to the creatures that he had made, let us make man in our own image and our own likeness, a theophany. God had never become flesh yet. He was in a theophany. Moses seen him later. All right? So he creates the man in his image. Whatever God is, the man's in that image. The woman is created in that image. All right? She's in that image, just like it. All right? What happens? Go ahead with number 3. Questions and answers on Hebrews. So what did he say? As he walked through the Garden of Eden first as a theophany, who is he talking about? Adam. Right? Not the flesh man. That ain't come into being yet. Hang on. It led to animal life. It controlled everything, but it couldn't till the soil. Mm-hmm. Then he put him in flesh so he could till the soil. So he brought him down to flesh. Now, roll it up and look what he said. Look, for when he was first made, he was made two people together. He was made both male and female. The man was. The Bible said he was. God made man, both male and female. Created he him. Notice. Now, when man was separated from the theophany and put in flesh, he wasn't just exactly altogether there. Part of his being was still a theophany, so it didn't look right. And you're still in the spiritual man. You ain't talking about the natural man. Now, don't even consider the natural man. So what I said, we can take the natural man and we can put Eve in the natural man and get him out, get her out of it. But leave that alone. You got a spiritual creation first. You got a spiritual creation. So look what he says. When the man was separated from theophany, what's he talking about? All right, let's read the next one. You see what he's talking about. Questions and answers. Go to number 4. Adam was lonesome. And God, to show what he was going to do, he brought him down. He never went out and got another part of dirt. He took the original dirt. He made a, you know, from Adam. And took a, but look what he said. She was made for the man and part of the man. Okay, that's physical. Right? She was part of him in the beginning in creation in the theophany. All right? She was a part of him down here in this creation. She could not be divided in another creation. She had to be made in the same creation. All right. That's where we were ending up on our thoughts of talking about it. So Adam and Eve had the same theophany. Right. Now, how many theophanies are there? Made he him, made he them. So Adam was put into theophany. Eve was still in, you know, she was there in him in theophany in the beginning. But when Adam stepped into flesh, Eve was still left where she was at. She was still in theophany. All right? Now, if you don't believe that, I know. Because I know this is, I've tried to explain it for 40-something years. And I know what goes through the mind of people and what they're thinking. Because that goes through my mind and that's what I'm thinking. All right? I just hate to tell you your thoughts because you come to find out it's the ones I had. All right. But listen, if Eve was in Adam and theophany, there's not but one theophany. That's what your prophet said. I didn't say it. He said Eve was in Adam and theophany. Then Genesis 1, 26 and 27 is one man. Not men. Not mankind. It's one man. It's eternal life. So according to blasphemous names, the prophet said into Adam, when that was placed within Adam, he said he gave him eternal life. When he breathed in his nostrils and he became a living soul. Well, don't you think Eve had eternal life in her soul? Or are you going to leave her out of it? Of course, that's a good thought, isn't it? Oh, we want to leave them out of it. Well, she was in him in theophany. Now you explain that. Well, my theophany, Brother Dale, is up yonder in heaven somewhere. May I quote the scripture? Or do we need to get to it? It says, if this earthly tabernacle were dissolved, we have one waiting. Listen to the scripture. Eternal in the heavens. If you've got a theophany up there, it's eternal. That's what the Bible says. Eternal in the heavens. So if it's eternal, it's got to be God's own life because there ain't but one eternal. So then Adam had eternal life in his soul. Eve had eternal life. Or else you show me where it's at now. Yes, but I just don't believe that. I just can't see it, Brother Dale, because I just always believe my theophany's up yonder. I hear it calling me. Beautiful songs, but they ain't scriptural. I know, I get arrogant with that, and I know it. Those people wrote songs, beautiful songs. I hear my theophany calling me. Where's it at? And Brother Branham, we've done established last week, this week, what? That the man that he created in 1:26 and 27 was a theophany. The same image God was in. I've never heard nobody talk like this. I'm sorry you've never heard anybody talk like this. I am sorry you've never heard anybody try to explain it. See, the only one that can explain it is the one who knows what it is. All right, you do what you want to. 40-something years I've been preaching this. That God is real. And God is eternal. And eternal life is only one eternal life. There's no such thing. The prophet said you couldn't have two eternals, could you? You can't have two eternals. That's why we don't believe hell's eternal. Because you couldn't be put in hell. To burn eternally, you'd have to have God's own life. That's just plain sense. Yes, what my Bible says, you'll burn in hell forever. Forever is a space of time. Eternal is Zoe, God's own life. But that's why we don't believe in hell being eternal. Because you'd have to have eternal life to live there. Well, God could give them eternal life and let them go live there. Oh, that's great knowledge. That's great understanding. He would have to give them his own life. Then that put God in hell. See, you don't see what you're talking about. Yeah, but I've always been taught this. Well, it's about time to read for yourself. Get you some glasses. You know what I'm talking about? I used to read through the Baptist eyes. And Bibles, always. I've had this Bible, not this Bible. But I always used Scofield. I always had a Bible from the time I could afford it. I've had a Scofield Bible. Just because I like it. One reason I like it, don't matter how big they are. Everything's on the same side of page. Do you know that about a Scofield Bible? It doesn't matter if it's that big or if it's that big. Everything in there is on the same side of the page. So you get used to something being right there and you can just turn over there. So, well, that's the top of the page. So, okay. All right. Listen. So God was a theophany. Amen. Well, he created man in his image. So he didn't create a theophany. If there's only one eternal theophany in God's own life, he just moved over into another form. The eternal life that you and I would be. Can you? I can't explain that, Roselle. Well, would you explain one thing to me? There's 7 billion people in the world today, and if they would receive it, everybody in the world could have eternal life. Do you agree with that? If they would accept it? Well, then how can God be divided 7 billion times? That's our terminologies. That's our doings. Like Brother Moak said, people say you take an apple and cut it up, and you give it out, and you run out of apple. God is not that way. Take him and illustrate it like an apple. The more you cut up and give out, the more is in your hand when you get through. Why? Because he's real. He's eternal. He's not just the thoughts of your mind. God was a theophany, and he made man in a theophany. And when he made man in a theophany, he made Eve in a theophany. All right? So he held the part that she was to be in theophany. And Adam walked in the garden. Then he created Eve. And he put what was to be in Eve. Eternal life. The theophany. See? All right? What does it wind up being then? Go ahead to number 5 and let's read about this and watch the wording now. Watch the wording in the message called Entombment, 1957. He's talking about Jesus when he left the cross, you know. He ascended or descended, we said, and went and preached to the souls that were in prison, that were repented not and long-suffering in the days of Noah. Watch. His soul, his spirit, his theophany of his own being went down. Now, he doesn't have any problem saying soul, spirit, theophany. Why should we have problems with it? Right? Now, watch as he explains your soul. So he explains now the regions. Just below the regions of mortal beings lays the realm of demon power. Below that, just above that, lays the souls of the unjust. Demon power, soul to the unjust. Watch him. Below it lays the very domain of Satan, which is where the demon powers are. Hell, as we call it. Then just above us lays the Holy Spirit. Then under the altar lays the souls of the just men. The next is God himself. Watch. One going downward, one going upward. The two spirits are here on earth, influencing the people of this earth. So you're either pulled by one or the other. All right. Now, may I quote Souls in Prison? I don't have it with me, but I'll be glad to get it. Where he said on Souls in Prison, he said, the nature of your soul is God if you're born again. He said, if not, it's of the world. Okay. So the nature of my soul, if I'm not saved, is unjust. And it's going downward. But if I'm saved, it's of God and going upward. Is that any problem? All right. See, then you have trouble with people trying to understand these wordings. Let's go to number 6. This is Hebrews chapter 2. Now, when he would come into that body, he had control of the fishes and the fowls and the beasts of the field. That's the Genesis 1:26 man, right? Then 2:7, see, he'd done made male and female before he put them into 2:7. 1:26 and 27 was male and female. Adam and Eve, which was only one theophany, which is only one body of Jesus Christ. We all have the same eternal life, correct? Whether we're male or female, we have eternal life. Right. A multiple body. All right, he gives him a hand like a chimpanzee, et cetera, et cetera. That's coming into the natural man, right? We look at the last little statement. And the difference between an animal and a man, God put a soul in a man, He didn't put it in the animal. The animal don't have a soul. Now, it's got a spirit that motivates it. It acts the way it's supposed to act. It does the way it hunts the way it's supposed to do. But it doesn't have a soul. It has a spirit part to lead it. All right? Because it can't reason. Now, you can train it to reason. But if you leave it alone, it's going to think just like it thought. When its mama thought that away, its daddy thought that away, its granddaddy thought that away, a bird still builds its nest the same way, right? No, because they don't have a soul. Right? The difference is God put a soul in the man. He didn't put it in the animal. Why? Because the soul that was in the man is that theophany. Now, how many years have I taught that? 40-something? But Brother Dale, you're talking about a soul being a theophany. That's what Brother Brown said. I didn't say it. Now, you talk to him. He's the one that said it. And like I said, over in Souls in Prison, which is about 63, 64, he said the nature of your soul is God if you're born again. He said, if not, it's of the world. But see, you two soul people, they taught it what? The soul's just the nature of the spirit, and ain't so to no quote in the whole prophet's message of that. I want to see it. Brother Brown never said the soul is just the nature of the spirit. That was the two-soul doctrine. It went all over the country because they were saying that the soul wasn't nothing, just a nature. I know the doctrines of it. Brother Brown said the soul is the nature of the spirit. When they put the word just in there, they added to the message. But yet you quote it. I turn on the internet line. You quote it as being Bible. Show me where it's at. Because you make it to be that it's just the nature of the spirit. Oh, it's just like a dog. He's a bird dog. He's no hound. He's a beagle. You don't get an old beagle out there pointing. That ain't his nature. Right? You got to get a bird dog to point. But you know what? You get a bird dog that's really a bird dog, you don't have to teach him to point. He does it automatic. Because that's just his ways. That's a nature part that's leading. It's not the inward part of him being a soul. Man, see, comes forth with that soul. Now watch. Now here's where we're going to get for a few minutes. It gets touchy. Go ahead with number seven and look what it says. Ezekiel 18:4 says, behold, all souls are mine. And there's never a soul come into the world that God didn't bring it. Satan cannot create a soul. That was the two-soul doctrine, people. Satan cannot create a soul. He cannot do it. God is the only creator. Right? Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. All right? So the soul's a real you, right? The soul is the real you. Amen. Well, Brother Dale, what is the soul? It's the real you. That's what your prophet said. I'll be glad to get you that quote. But what I want you to think about, God created all souls. There's never been a soul could be created anywhere that would not be of God. All right? Now, we just read, then all souls are what? All souls are mine. Now, when's the soul created? Let's get your prophet to answer the question. Go ahead with number eight, which is a message called Demonology, Physical Realm. Look what he says. But your souls, now read this, over and over. But your souls were made up before the foundation of the world when God created man in his own image. Spirit of man, not a man in his image, but man in his image. Yep. Sounds like he's just crossing himself, right? He didn't make all mankind. Now here's where I come in. And that's where you go out. Because that's the way people will do. Now we've got a statement that all souls belong to God, and God made them all. Then now we've got a statement that all souls were made up before the world. Now I know what you're going to do. You're going to run with your mind, so hold on a little bit. May I quote you another one, and then we'll get to it later? Where the prophet said it like this. Which they can do it if they want to. They can pull up number 17 if they can pull it that fast and run over there. But if not, I'll read it to you. Page 154 of the Church Age book, somewhere in Church Age. Before I close this, I know there is a question in your minds. You will want to know if I believe in the doctrine of preexistence. I don't believe in that Mormon doctrine of the preexistence of souls any more than I believe in reincarnation or transmigrations of souls. Right. Be careful here and see this. It's not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God. It is the word or seed that is way back, what? Too far back for the human to understand it. So now here's a prophet. Oh, Brother Dale, you sound like, I better not say it. You sound like that guy up north up there that now they got all this website going to try to figure out how many times Brother Ram was wrong. Well, why don't they come up with some sensible quotes? They ain't even got sense on theirs. I just quoted you two things from a prophet, one going one way, one going another way. One saying your soul was created before the world. The other one saying he didn't believe in souls as preexistence of souls. Or reincarnation. Or transmigration. Now, transmigration means to go from one body to another. So then he didn't believe in none of those things. Now, what are you going to do? What's your answer? I laid before you two thoughts. We'll stop on this and continue this evening. I laid before you two thoughts from a prophet. One, he said that your souls were created before the world. Another, that says he don't believe that. I say he's right in both places. Well, you're just dumb enough to believe. I thank you. I am just dumb enough to believe. Right. He didn't believe in preexistence of souls. But he believed your souls were made before the world. And remember, he was bringing all of it there. He didn't define what he's talking about. But your souls were made up before the foundation of the world. Now, what's your answer? I'll give you time to think it over. I say he's right in both places. Because I'm speaking by revelation about him being right. All right. Now, we've spent quite a while determining, defining theophany, soul, and doings and beings. All right. And we said over and over that this man of Genesis 1, 26 and 27 was one man which was eternal. Right. Now we're down to the right definition. The one in Genesis 1, 26 and 27 is the theophany of God, eternal life, which is the soul of God. All right. That always did exist with God. Never had a beginning. Never has an ending. We'll get to it this evening. You say, yeah, but when it says he's the beginning of the creation of God, Brother Dale, you're talking about when he's brought into flesh. I agree with you. We got the quotes, but we've also got the quotes where you existed as the beginning of the creation of God. I require for you to think, don't I? Not showing how smart I am. And not trying to show how dumb you are, because I was there in the same seat with the dumbs like you. You say, I don't like your talking. Well, you tell me some other way to say it where it'll come out sensible. If I saw so fit, the prophet said, you'll think I'm trying to pull something over on you. I admit I didn't understand this in the early years of the prophet's message that I was able to start reading. But then after a while, it become into unfolding until I worry of no challenge. Bring something to show me different on this. You say, yeah, but my theophany is up yonder. It's not up there until you die. Let me ask you a question. Is there two eternal lives? No, it's not. Well, all right, now you by the new birth get eternal life, right? Well, now if you got eternal life in your soul, why do you need eternal life up in heaven? Why not do as the prophet said, let your soul be your theophany? Now, every theophany is not eternal. Because Brother Brown uses the word theophany for a sinner. As an undercurrent taking him down. But he uses it for a Christian as an upward going up. You see, I'm trying to explain eternal life. You see, we wasn't back there with God as people. We don't believe in that. We don't believe in pre-existences. The Mormon doctrine is, just to give you a fast quick, the Mormon doctrine is that everybody was up in heaven with Father as people, some form. And then they came to earth to be lost to where they could let the Savior be displayed. That's pre-existence of people. I don't believe in pre-existence of people. I don't believe in pre-existence of souls. I believe in pre-existence of eternal life, which is God's own soul. I don't believe the soul that's in me right now by the new birth. Come on, are you listening? The new birth that I receive, is it not the very soul of God that come and lives in you in the form of the new birth? That's eternal and always was eternal. Never come into existence anywhere. It always was in existence. It's a very part of Him. What about it? What about it? I was trying to find one quote. I'll bring it back through this evening. And we'll continue on the thought. Let me just end it by saying this. There's only one eternal life. Let's don't be like we was as that we thought hell was eternal. Because we was taught it was eternal. Mama believed it was eternal. Granddaddy believed it was eternal. The preachers believed it was eternal. They got it from the Pope because he's the one that believed it. Because he created a hell to try to get money out of people to where you could get a purgatory to pay them out of it. And the Baptists and the Methodists and all of that just come along and pick that up and taught hell is eternal. Well, then how are you going to have eternal hell? It would mean God's own life. Do you understand? See, we don't believe that. We don't believe that hell is eternal. Huh? Then when God thought of mankind, in the beginning, He thought of everybody. He thought of every soul that would ever come into the world. He thought of every soul that He would ever bring into the world. Because all souls are mine, He said. You can't have a soul without God bringing it into being. Right? But there was a soul back there that is not time-wise and just the mind of God. It was the very soul of Almighty God. Yes, but Brother Dale, I just can't see it. God's got a soul. Well, I remember on the cross when a man was hanging there And what did he say? Or in the garden, one right before them, he said, my soul is troubled. Is that scripture? My soul was troubled. And the Bible said he gave his soul a ransom. I got in trouble years ago trying to preach that. How real God was, and people went around saying, Brother Dale, thanks God's got a soul. I didn't say that. I didn't say he's got a soul. He is a soul. A lot of difference between got a soul and is a soul. A soul is a being, a person. That's what you are. Look it up in Webster when you get a chance. Soul means what you are, your being. It's the inward part of you that's more real than your body and your spirit. Because you've got see, taste, feel, smell, and hear out here to contact this world. Inside of that is a spirit called memory, reason, conscience, affections, love, and things. But inside of that is a man, a soul that you are, that's got to be one or two. It's either faith or doubt. It's not both. It's either faith or doubt, because my Bible says God won't dwell in an unclean vessel. So it can't be that I've got some things in me that's not clean in my soul. You can't do that. It's our spirit that where we're having our problems with in here. See, we're a being. A person is what you are. That's why the Bible that we read it there in Ezekiel 18:4, he said, the soul that sinneth it shall die. There is no scripture that says the spirit that sinneth shall die. The soul that sinneth shall die. See, that's where your born-again experience takes place. It don't take place in your body. I wish it did. It don't take place in your spirit. I wish it did, because I'd be a whole lot better person. But it doesn't take place there. The new birth takes place in your soul and brings to you the very eternal God dwelling into you. His soul comes into you, into your soul. Now what is it? Soul to soul, he is my Savior. Spirit to spirit, he can anoint me to do great things, but he can also anoint other people that are lost to do that too. Body to body, he's my brother. Right? But soul to soul, he's my Father. He's my Savior. He's my all in all. In Jesus' name. Come on, brothers. Jesus is his name. He's real. He's not just the thoughts of your mind. There's people that teaches that, churches that teach that, that the devil's just the bad thoughts of your mind and God is just the good thoughts. Well, I guess it's on whatever side of the bed I get up on. You know. I get up on one side, I'm in bad shape. I get up on the other side, I'm in good shape. Well, that might be all right if I keep getting up on the right side. But you understand what I mean? Let's stand. Let's just think about him. And think about that soul that you are. That being that you are. Is in the image of Almighty God. I'll pick it back up this afternoon. But just remember what I was saying. If you're going to say, as the Bible says, all souls are mine. And then you're going to say the souls were created before the world. You got to define that as a prophet. Meaning it's in the mind of God. In the mind of God, every person that it would ever be in the world was in his foreknowledge. He knew what Judas Iscariot would do, but yet he gave him every choice. He gave him every opportunity and called him a devil all the way through the ministry. No, he gave him a chance. He's given you and I a chance. What we got, brother?
168 in the Spiral Book.
168 in the Spiral Book. Anybody have a need?
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take up thy cross and follow me.
fell the other day or stepped off and hurt his ankle and swelled up and everything. And they won't even let him use the crutches at work. So if he goes to work, he can't walk on the crutches out into the plant and things because they won't allow that. Well, he's having to walk without it and doings, and that's rough. So let's believe. Let's believe, and we'll give him a prayer cloth to put in his pocket. And let's believe that God will just touch this and take away the pain. Right? You don't believe he can take away the pain?
Amen.
Why not just believe he can take away the pain? Take away whatever caused it. Take away the pain. Lord Jesus, we believe your word that says, by your stripes our brother is healed. We lay hands upon him believing it. Lord, we've seen it before. We've seen it in our own selves. We've seen it in people where you just take away the pain. It would all just go away in the cause. So we believe you, Father. And we condemn that pain that's hurting our brother. And Lord, take away all of this to where he'll be able to walk and do his job and things. We believe you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else that have a need?
I'll go with him through the garden.
Singing unto him as you leave, where he leads me, I will follow. Just be with everybody, Lord. Take care of everybody. Bring us back together this evening in Jesus' name.